Welcome to Wednesday morning. Evan Bray, great to have you here. You know, we follow lots of different stories of people from our province that are doing incredible things, or people from our province that get opportunities that are unique to them. You remember the story, and we talked about this a couple of months back, involving three young athletes from the Weyburn Soccer Association who had the opportunity to take a trip to Spain and train their soccer skills at the next level. Basically, these three young athletes from Weyburn invited to attend the prestigious Real Madrid Soccer Academy. It's a week-long camp. This club has the most championship titles in Europe, home to stars like Cristiano Ronaldo. And these three boys have been playing soccer together since they were 5 years old. They were invited last year. They've been fundraising nonstop for this trip. This is a big deal for players from the Weyburn Soccer Association, where they play, to be able to go over to Spain for this. They received an invitation based on their work ethic, their positive attitude, their skill level. And these three players are Ranson Jordans, Ethan Thiedig, and Lexington Roy. And I'm very happy to say that I've got these three young athletes, Ranson, Ethan, and Lexington, join us. Okay, first of all, congratulations. Ranson, why don't we start with you? What was this experience like?
It was a really fun experience. We had a lot of fun training and seeing the coaches, and they had a lot of fun things planned for us.
Maybe let's go back a little bit. Ethan, can you tell us, how is it that you three were selected and invited to attend this prestigious camp with Real Madrid Soccer Academy?
There's this Real Madrid camp. It wasn't the same, but like, it was a mini-year camp. So you sign up to go to this one camp in Edmonton. And then, so they have these age groups, and then we would be on, like, we were like, it was so like, we were in like the age group of U13. So like, there are people from the ages of 11 to 13 in our group. And so if the coaches, he thought that would like do the best and showed the best like compassion, and that was nice, and actually really showed dedication, the coaches would just pick, like, I don't know how many people it was exactly, but they would just call you and email you and then tell you that you're going to Spain.
I love it. And Lexington, once you guys got that word, you must have been pretty pumped.
Oh, yeah. I was going for brunch, actually. And then we got the call, and I was super excited. I was really, really excited. I remember my dog was with me, and he was just jumping around. It was such a good thing to hear.
So, Ranson, do you, Ethan, and Lexington all play on the same team, or were you guys on opposite teams prior to this opportunity?
Yeah, we all play on the same team in Weyburn.
Okay, well, that's good. So you weren't going with the enemy. You're going with buddies.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. So tell me a little bit, Ranson, about the experience. What were some of those practices like? You got to experience different coaches. You had kids from, I'm assuming, other countries. Tell me a little bit about what that was like, Ranson.
For three of the days, we had a training session in the morning and the afternoon. And we had like a team leader. He was like a lower league player, and he was a leader, but he didn't coach us. And then we had two different coaches that coached us. Mm-hmm. And there was kids from like all over. There was a kid from the United States, and there were a lot from Canada.
Yeah, I think this is such an awesome opportunity. What, Ethan, what would you say your biggest takeaway is? What are you going to remember the longest about this opportunity?
Probably the training, but just meeting new people and making new friends. Like, just because, like, I like to be social a lot, so I just like to meet new people and making new friends.
Something tells me I could almost pick that up over the phone, Ethan. I can tell you're an outgoing young fella. Lexington, what do you think? And you know what? I'd like to hear all three of you answer this question individually. I'll start with Lexington. What does this experience give you? You come back to Weyburn, you're playing soccer again. Now you've had this experience. How are you better? How are you more improved? What has this experience given you, Lexington?
We take what we learn from the coaches, stuff that we didn't know, and we know what we need to work on.
Branson, what would you say? What did you bring back with you that is going to carry you forever? Is it about something you learned on the field, or did you learn something even bigger than that?
I'll probably take away, because at the end of the camp, we got like a report card kind of, and the coaches said like what we can work on and stuff. And like when I got back, I'm going to like try to work on that, and I'll like help coach my other teammate.
I love that you're willing to share some of the things that you learned. Ethan, what would it be for you?
On my report card, I wasn't the best shooter, so I'm probably just going to like practice kicking a ball at the wall, or just like go outside and kick the ball in the net, and just like, yeah, like Ranson said, try to be a better team leader.
I love it, you guys. And this is such an exciting opportunity for you. And what does the future hold? I'm going to ask each of you, in life, does it include, do you want to play professional soccer? Lexington, I'll start with you. What do you want to see in your future?
I really want to go pro one day. That's like a dream to me. And I feel like this experience helped me work towards the goal just a tiny bit.
Awesome stuff. Ranson, for what would it be for you? What are you going to be you want to be a professional soccer player?
Yeah, mine's probably like the same as Lex. I want to go professional, and just, yeah, this experience really helped me to learn about that.
Ethan?
Yeah, me too. I want to go professional, but like, I mean, I want to, because, like, Team Canada for the World Cup team isn't the best, so I kind of just want to be on that team and just help them improve and hopefully win something with them, because they're not the best.
Well, listen, the three of you from Weyburn are have proven that you've got the qualities that you need to take it to the next level. This is super exciting. I know you're freshly back from your trip to this incredible camp, this incredible opportunity. And I appreciate the three of you, Ranson, Ethan, and Lexington, giving some time. Thanks for breaking away from school for a little bit and joining the show.
Thank you.
Ranson, Ethan, Lexington, three young, not only soccer players, but these are young leaders, young community leaders. And I just think their answers were outstanding. And I love the fact that they were able to share their experience with us. Okay, we're going to take a break. Our friend Brian Zinchuk from pipelineonline.ca. We have Brian on the program every month to give us the latest in energy news. He sends me a quick text this morning with some breaking news. Just moments ago. He's already written an article on it. It's got to do with a fairly significant decision that was made in the province around energy production. It's going to have an impact on our province. Flies in the face of federal regulations or suggestions, and so we'll have Brian pop in just a moment to talk about that. I also want to mention a bit about my trip to North Battleford yesterday, a community visit yesterday afternoon, met with a ton of people. Man, there's lots of good going on in that community. That's all coming up when we come back here on 650 CKOM, 980 CJME. Well, good morning, and thank you for joining us. It was just moments ago, my phone, which is sitting beside me here, but on silent, I get a text from Brian Zinchuk, who is the editor and owner of pipelineonline.ca. We have Brian on the show regularly talking about all things oil, gas, and energy. He sends me a link to an article that he's written, basically with a little note to me saying, this is big, new, breaking news. And I said, well, then let's get Brian on the air to talk about it. Brian joins me by phone. How are you, Brian?
Good morning. So the big news is that at 11 a.m., the Minister for Crown Investments Corporation, Jeremy Harrison, who's responsible for SaskPower, sent a letter to all SaskPower employees by email saying that we are not shutting down our coal fleet. We are going to rebuild all three of our coal power stations and continue running them as a bridge to a future in nuclear power generation.
So this seems to be a complete step in the direction of leaning into coal for some time, because we knew that they weren't going to abandon the notion of using coal. But this, when you talk about expanding and investing in it, clearly it's here for a while.
Yeah, so according to federal regulations, in 4 years, 6 months, and 12 days, we're supposed to shut off our entire coal fleet that doesn't have carbon capture. That would be, in wintertime, up to 40% of our power generation we would have to shut off in that length of time. And the province had realization that that's simply not on. We can't do that. We are building wind and solar, but we've seen evidence just yesterday or the day before. Alberta saw its 5,688 megawatts of wind capacity drop to less than, I think last week was 0.1%. You know, so we can't trust that. We absolutely need baseload power. And in the story, it's on pipelineonline.ca. It's the lead story. I'm going to leave it up there for a couple of days as a lead. This is a really big deal. I lay out how we got to this. You know, the Saskatchewan First Act, which was introduced by Bronwyn Ehr, laid out the fact that we are taking, we are asserting our rights under the Constitution to not submit to federal regulation because it's constitutionally electrical is under the provinces. So it's the SAF First Act. It was the Economic Impact Tribunal assessment, which looked at, you know, what would happen if we did follow the clean electricity regulations brought in by Guilbeault. And reality is, if we can't do it and keep people literally alive in this province, mm-hmm. they would be freezing in the dark.
So you've written, obviously, the breaking news story. You're on here talking about it because this literally just was something that went out in the last hour.
Yes, and I will be talking to Minister Jeremy Harrison at 10 o'clock on a Pipeline Online podcast, which you can watch live on various social media, and he will be detailing this in much greater detail on Friday to really get into the heart of the matter here.
Okay, well, I know we have you always joining us on a monthly basis, but I didn't want to wait till that next opportunity, given the fact that this news just breaking this morning. Brian, I appreciate you giving us the heads up and sharing the news with us.
Yeah, I think this is one of the biggest policy decisions in the last decade and will be for years to come.
Brian Zinchuk, the editor, the owner of pipelineonline.ca, where you can go to read the article, but the announcement, or it wasn't even an announcement, it was just basically communication to people at Sask Power that Saskatchewan will be actually investing in, rebuilding its coal fleet, not stepping away from it, despite the fact federal regulations have called for the end of coal-powered energy. We'll continue to follow that story along. Yesterday, I had the opportunity, I've done a few of these community visits in the province since I've been able to step into this opportunity, this role, talking to you every day. Had the opportunity to go to Prince Albert, did a tour around Moose Jaw, met with some of their leadership. Yesterday, I was in North Battleford. My understanding and dealing with North Battleford has been fairly superficial over the years. I've been to the community a number of times. I used to referee hockey, so I refereed a lot of hockey up there. My daughter worked in North Battleford for the better part of 3 years as a paramedic. And of course, my good friend John Gormley is from North Battleford. So I've got contacts there. I've been there. I've golfed the golf course with my friend Troy Milnthorpe, who's also from North Battleford. But yesterday was basically a purposeful visit to see some of the different parts of the community. We went first to the Saskatchewan Hospital. If you haven't been to or seen the Saskatchewan Hospital in North Battleford, it is something else. I actually was shocked at the size, the impressive, I'm going to say beauty of this facility. It is an absolutely incredible modern facility. Of course, it is set up for longer term psychiatric rehabilitation in the province. They've got just under 300 beds in there. The staff is, I think I remember it was about 600 or maybe just a bit more that worked there. Brent Nixon, who's the director of the facility, took us on the tour. Absolutely impressed. This is, to me, a world-class facility. They care about the people that are there, that are residents. They show support and dignity and care and love to them. And there's so many aspects to it. They have a woodworking shop. You can buy lawn furniture that they make in the woodworking shop there. It's an incredible facility, and I'm going to have guests on, and we will talk more about that in the future. We then went to the Fred Light Museum in Battleford. I'm going to tell you right now, I had no idea this museum even existed. If you have the opportunity to go to the Fred Light Museum in Battleford, do it. It's named after the founder of the museum, whose father was a member of basically the Mounted Police family. The collection of artifacts that are in there, some of them donated by Fred Light and the family, others by just people in and around the community, is incredible. It's in the old St. Vital School, which was a school, operated as a school till 1974. It became the museum in 1980. And by the way, Bernadette Leslie, who has worked there for 46 years, gave us the tour yesterday. She is retiring in July. I am going to have Bernadette on this program prior to her retirement. Then we had a bit of a meet and greet at the Chamber of Commerce. The mayor was there, Kelly Houghton, had a great conversation with her. MLA Jeremy Cockrell, who we've had on this program a number of times. Lots of chamber directors, community leaders, RCMP Inspector Ryan Howe was there, and many people had their spouses there as well. I loved it. Loved the tour. Anytime you get a chance to have a behind-the-scenes look at a community, it happened to me in Prince Albert, it happened to me in Moose Jaw, and it definitely happened to me yesterday in North Battleford. So these will spin off future discussions. We will have someone talking a bit about the Saskatchewan Hospital, the model that they have. We will have someone from the incredible museum that I toured yesterday, the Fred Light Museum in Battleford. But thank you to the community. Welcomed us with open arms. The tour was spectacular, but I think the people is what made it that much better. Love this community. I can see why John Gormley always proud of his hometown. It's a beautiful part of Saskatchewan, and we will be able to feature more stories coming out of the Battlefords area in the days and the weeks ahead. All right, we are going to take a break. We'll be back with a founder of a company from right here in Saskatchewan who also played with my New York Islanders. Rich Pilon is my guest next on 650 CKOM 980 CJME.